It's fall kickoff Sunday at St. Paul's, if you haven't heard yet. And it's kickoff Sunday for the NFL. My family is going to be watching football later today. I'll watch any sport, including marathon runners, which I think there's something incredibly raw and pure about seeing someone run for as fast as they can, for as long as they can. The way that those elite runners, the ones at the front of the pack, who are basically running 5-minute miles for 26.2 miles, the way they nourish themselves, it oftentimes, you know, you'll see one of those runners take a cup of water, and instead of drinking it, they don't have time to stop, you know, so they sometimes they'll dump it over their head, and sometimes they'll just take that little Dixie cup and throw that water in their face, crush the cup in their hand, drop it on the ground, and keep running. They don't have time to spare, and if they stopped, they wouldn't win the race. When God instructed Moses and Aaron how to essentially slow cook a Passover lamb over a fire, they did not have time to spare. Moses and Aaron were working urgently to liberate the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. The story in Exodus, you may remember, maybe from Sunday school, tells of Moses repeatedly warning Pharaoh of the plagues which came and went, and each time Pharaoh did not let God's people go. The most terrible, devastating plague finally persuaded Pharaoh to let God's people go. And so the Israelite refugees ran for their lives, and soon they became trapped between the shore of the Red Sea and the Egyptian chariots who were chasing them. This famous escape story unfolds at a quick pace, with the notable exception of Exodus chapter 12, from which we read this morning. For almost a chapter and a half, these instructions for a ritual meal brings these desperate Israelites to a screeching halt. Now, given that there was no time to spare, it felt ironic that God's directions to Moses and Aaron began with a simple emphasis on time. God said, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you." And then God continued with more specifics about timing. God says, "On the first month of the year, take a perfect year-old lamb, and on the 10th day, bring that lamb into your house, and on the 14th day of that same month, slaughter the lamb at twilight. Then roast it with bitter herbs and unleavened bread. Don't have any leftovers. Don't eat any of it raw or boiled in water. Make sure it's roasted over the fire, the whole animal, organs, innards, everything." This community of the Israelites had been subject to the most ravaging brutality under Pharaoh's regime. And now God was telling them to slow cook a meal before they got their freedom. These people were ready for a new identity, a new chapter, ready to get on with a new chance of living out the rest of their lives in the promised land. The lengthy interruption, the recipe inserted into this dramatic story, has something bigger to say for itself than just some cooking instructions. In its very positioning in the book of Exodus, God is saying, before you do anything else, even before you flee from the Egyptians to save your own lives, stop. Nourish yourselves. I will make time for you. The roasted lamb, the bitter herbs, the bread without yeast served as a reminder for the Israelites in the most urgent and perilous circumstances. Their God actually controlled the timing and circumstances and was using those very things to help them remember that their God is the one who intervenes for a fresh start. We all have our own rhythms of pausing and remembering. Certain days on our own calendars are set aside. Anniversaries, birthdays. There are days when we miss a loved one. There are times when we pause and remember what we're doing to prepare for what's ahead, remembering what's behind. The start of the school year, start of the Sunday school year with teachers in classrooms that are ready to welcome all of our youth and children in them. There are civic holidays that become honored to us as well. Tomorrow on 9/11, so many of us will pause during a day that can be suffused with so much memory and heartache. As we remember the firefighters and the police and the ordinary citizens who gave their lives to rescue strangers. There have been years when I've noticed that it's easier not to stop on 9/11 and remember, because the pain of those memories can be really disruptive. Instead of stopping to remember, it can be easier just to stay busy, to keep running the race. So much of life can feel like a race. We often hear one another say that we need to keep up with something or someone, or we need to get ahead, or we need to finish strong. Whether you're in a fight for your own survival or just in a regular race of daily life, we tend to be overscheduled people. Our children are famously overscheduled. When I think back to high school, I think it's one of the busiest times of my life. From the moment you wake up as a high schooler, from the moment you go to sleep, almost every single moment is spoken for. There are things that are marketed with the promise of helping us to slow down, mindfulness products. Some of them are for sale, and most of these offer good things for us. These things point us to an urge to slow down that's part of a deeper yearning of the heart. Back to Exodus. The Israelites literally needed to get ahead. Hypothetically, the Israelites could have gotten farther ahead of the Egyptian chariots if they hadn't stopped and prepared and shared lambs, slow roasted over a fire with bitter herbs and bread without yeast. If we never stopped, we too could get ahead. We could get ahead of those proverbial Egyptian chariots that chase each one of us. Just think, you could add another extracurricular, we could earn more money, we could clean out our inboxes, you name it. The instructions of the Passover feast in Exodus chapter 12 are bound up with God's promise to make time for nourishment for each of us. God makes time for us to pause and remember what God has done for us, delivering our ancestors, the Israelites, out of bondage in Egypt. And God makes time for us to remember what he has done for us through Jesus. These pews, these faces of our faith family, this table, these candles, they usually catch us between Saturday and Monday, when perhaps it can feel like there isn't enough time to spare. But the bread and the wine, they nourish us with the taste of a God who intervenes for a fresh start. Because most of us need a fresh start, and most of us need one each week. And when we come into this place to be fed, to tap out of the race, we're doing something different with our time, which won't get us ahead. It really won't. It will slow us, it will sustain us, and it will save us. Amen.